Welcome to the Unit Care Services podcast, discussions of interest to unit owners. And Happy New Year! May 2019 be kind to us all. But what does this year have in store for unit owners? What about climate change? And isn't there an election coming our way? Unit Care Managing Director Gordon Russell and I take a look into the crystal ball to see what should be on the minds of unit owners in 2019. Welcome to 2019. Happy New Year, somewhat belated to everyone. Gordon Russell, have you got a New Year's message for everybody out there?
I'll be kind to one another.
As the Managing Director of Unit Care Services, what should unit owners be looking out for in the new calendar year? Are there any jobs that you need to pay attention to?
So summer is a time to start thinking about autumn and winter, storms, wet weather, thinking about the state of the roof, the gutters. We have a fact sheet on gutter cleaning, by the way, and things to look out for. Overhanging trees that need trimming back from roofs so they don't cause damage. In addition to that, painting. And one of the things we're going to talk about today is global warming. One of the things that to get concerned about is the attack on the paintwork and that it may not be lasting as many years as the paint manufacturers wish it would. So making sure that timbers are well painted, all that work's done before you get to the stormy weather in winter.
2019. Is there anything special about this year that we need to think about?
It's getting hotter. It's getting hotter.
It's interesting you should say that, because 2018 has been recorded as the fourth warmest ever recorded, and five of the last years are the hottest 5 years on record. So this is global warming coming into attack. What do our unit owners need to think about around a warming, drying environment?
Well, they need to think about policies that actually enable people to install air conditioning appropriately, of course, in the right places and the modern units. They need to think about awnings, and these are in strata and to some extent community titles. These can be contentious issues because they change the appearance of the unit. So if you get sorting out a policy, say with awnings, about the colour, location, whatever else, preferably on the north face of units, air conditioning, that they're quiet modern models, inverter type. Interesting, what I did with my particular air conditioner was put a micro spray unit attached to it. So it actually improves its efficiency by 30%. So it's like you get an evaporative air conditioner behind the air conditioner, but as the air it sucks in is so much cooler. That saved me a lot of electricity and, of course, a lot of carbon dioxide as well. Solar panels. People are increasingly aware of the need to reduce the amount of carbon dioxide that we generate. And one of the ways to do that is to put solar panels on your roof. So again, developing a policy, and we'll have this in our fact sheet, a sensible policy that enables people to install solar panels.
And that's particularly important if you're thinking about making sure that there's modern air conditioning available, because, you know, air conditioning uses electricity. Mm. But the chances are you're going to use that air conditioner when the sun's shining. Mm. So you may as well go carbon neutral and get solar panels to power that.
Absolutely. I've been really impressed with the enormous improvements in efficiency of modern air conditioning. Mine, really, with the evaporative spray as well, hardly ticks over on hot days. It's just very efficient compared to the old clunkers that we've got. And a lot of units were built in the 60s, 70s, 80s, have got boxes in walls or really old air conditioners. And even in my group that was built in the 90s, you can actually hear them going. You can actually hear the air conditioner across the way. It's making quite a din. It's an older model, it's far less efficient, drawing a lot more electricity.
Not only is Adelaide and South Australia getting hotter, it's also getting drier. We're getting less rain. Does this create any issues for the unit owner?
A big problem we found in the 2000 drought was people stopped watering their lawns. And Adelaide, I think the stats on that are the metropolitan Adelaide consumes only 1% of the water of the whole state. So people can get very excited about saving water. But the risk is if they don't water around their properties, then the soil shrinks. We've got very active soils here. And the CSIRO tell you, you'll get building cracks. And we've had problems with substantial cracking, especially when on the unit that's on the end of a group, say. There might be gardens around their trees. They don't get watered. They suck the moisture out. And I think with a gum tree, it can suck 100 litres a day. The soils shrink and the property drops and you get all this cracking. So people think they're doing the right thing by conserving water, but you need to think carefully about how you're conserving water. And sometimes there are false economies that can cost the corporation and the owner a lot of money to fix up their units.
Is this a case of a good argument for water tanks to be installed on a property?
The challenge with units is there's usually not a lot of space left. We are increasingly densing up our suburbs, even with traditional separated houses, you know, where there is not a lot of room for a lot of tanks. Some of the more modern groups of units are required to put in, say, 50,000 litre rainwater tanks under the ground for surge issues so that the stormwater system doesn't get a surge through it. But of course, that water is valuable for being able to water the gardens, yes.
What else with a changing climate? It's getting drier, it's getting hotter, but it's also getting more windy and we're seeing storms, more intense storms, but we're not seeing as many of them. Is that going to have any implications for a unit owner?
I'm really in favour of getting rid of Roman roofs. We've got to give up tiles, you know. And I think your experience in Sydney was interesting recently. You get hailstorms with some of these big, vicious storms, especially the ones that come down from the north.
I should explain that my dad in Sydney got smashed in the recent hailstorms and extensive damage to his roof, which let in water and created other problems and what have you. But yeah, carry on.
Yeah, lightweight roofs. Making sure trees are cut back away from roofs so they aren't likely to cause damage by lashing against them. Getting a roof check done before winter is a good idea. But we're increasingly getting storms in summer, brought down from the tropics, from cyclones or whatever else that comes down here. So at least in, say, our minimum recommendation is, say, late March, April, get your gutters cleaned by a professional and use our checklist to make sure the roof's in good condition for winter.
Just to continue on that theme around tiled roofs, the experience at my dad's place in that hailstorm, there were fist-sized, perfectly circular holes punched straight through roof tiles. And yet, and next door, which had a colour bond roof, there was no apparent damage. But that in itself was a problem because the hail and those impacts can crack the surface of the colour bond and create problems down the track. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't, but it would result in rusting, I would think. I'd rather have a rust spot on a roof than actually a bloody great hole and and water damage, frankly. And the good thing about metal, too, if the roof's got a reasonable slope on it, the hail will actually bounce off it. It'll slide off. The tiled roofs, they really are very fragile.
What else have we got in store in 2019? Anything we should be looking out for, maybe on the political front?
Oh, we've got an election coming up, and I'll self-declare here that I'm an old lefty, and I believe in the collective. And I guess that sort of suits me being in strata management because it is about the collective good. It's about how we can work together, pool our resources from each according to their ability to each according to their need, and build community. And strata groups that work well are a good example of that.
But then a lot of unit owners are investors, and there's the whole question around capital gains tax and what have you. So let me play the devil's advocate. Perhaps that's a reason not to go with Labor because they're talking about repealing the capital gains.
They're grandfathering it. So people who are already investors who are taking advantage of the tax advantages of negative gearing against other income, they'll be safe. It'll be about new investments. And I think I may be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that the Labor Party policy is that new buildings, new works. So if you buy into a new apartment block or whatever else, you're still entitled to the negative gearing. And I think Australia is one of only two or three countries in the world that actually has this provision. And other countries get by fine with their housing and their investors. So I think we'll probably survive it.
Interesting, you should talk about buying a unit. We should do a podcast on buying units and the pros and cons for the unit owner. Gordon Russell, thank you as always.
Thank you, Paul.